On the U.S. border with Canada this week, groups of Pakistani families are finding themselves stranded as they try to leave the U.S. in advance of a coming deadline for registering with the INS. Canada, overwhelmed, has been sending them back over the border. And as they return, Pakistani men who lack proper visas are being detained by U.S. authorities, leaving their families in limbo. Several hundred have tried to cross the border since January 1st, and dozens of families are now parked in local shelters, unsure of what comes next. We reached Brian Mann of North Country Public Radio in Saranac Lake, New York, where he's been following the story this week.
What happens is every day buses arrive from as far away as Texas and California, people who've traveled to try to get across into Canada. And from the bus station, they'll take taxis up to the border. The taxi drivers put them out about 300 yards away from the Canadian immigration, and then you'll see these families, sometimes 8 or 10 people, and they make their way into Canada hoping that that's a place for them.
Well, you took the words out of my mouth. I mean, not to push this metaphor too much, but it sounds like you're describing a kind of refugee exodus.
The Canadians call these people refugees, and the Pakistanis say, we do not feel safe in the United States any longer. Some of these people are out of status in the U.S. That means that if they do go in and try to register under special registration, they will be detained. But what's interesting is that many of the people I've been interviewing here have legal papers. They have jobs. They have homes. And when you say, you know, why are you leaving? They say, there have been so many Pakistanis who've been detained. People have been held for long periods without being charged. Some have been flown back to Pakistan. And we want out.
When did Canada start returning these Pakistanis?
About 2 weeks ago, border officials, they declared that they were overwhelmed by the number of Pakistanis showing up. And they said, we're going to direct people back to the United States, and we'll give them a letter that says, here's your appointment date. Come back for an official hearing. The problem is that when the Pakistanis cross into the United States, many of them are out of status, and the men who are in that condition are immediately detained. And they're taken about 5 hours from here to a county jail near Utica, New York, and they're held there. And if they don't have the $1,500 necessary to bond out, they're held there indefinitely.
So they're in limbo, and in effect, because they've been given a date by Canada that's after the 21st, it's a catch-22 for them.
That's right. There are so many people here backed up now that the appointment dates that are being offered stretch into March. And the Pakistanis here who are staying in refugee shelters, they're terrified.
How are these little towns managing? It has to be a remarkable scene. Hundreds of Pakistanis in places like Saranac Lake and Plattsburgh, New York.
It's been very interesting to see. I mean, what's developed here is a system of activist groups like Vermont Refugee Assistance and the Salvation Army, oddly enough, opening shelters, working out networks of private citizens who are now taking people into their homes, especially in Burlington, where the largest cluster of these refugees are being housed. It's a college town in northern Vermont. You walk down the street and you'll see little groups of Pakistanis who are kind of loitering around waiting. And again, a lot of volunteers and a lot of people working hard to keep them fed, keep them warm. A lot of them have very little money, very few resources. So it's been tough to keep them all housed and fed.
Has the United Nations or the United Nations High Commission on Refugees, UNHCR, weighed in on this at all?
They have. They've been very active. They've encouraged the Justice Department to stop detaining men in cases where it will divide a family. When these families are divided, you'll often find a Pakistani woman who's lived a very traditional lifestyle, often doesn't speak English, she's veiled, has no skills that help her to deal with the bureaucracy here. So if the husband is taken away, it really does create a crisis for these families. UNHCR has encouraged the Justice Department to stop that. INS has not responded to that request. And here at the border, we've seen UNHCR inspectors. They're here monitoring the situation and have been working with immigration officials on both sides of the border.
Well, Brian Mann from North Country Public Radio in Saranac Lake, New York, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thanks, Jackie.